that making that noise? Hello, it's yourself. Oh, my head, my throat. Come in, come out of the cold here. Have your soup, your black bun, and, well, maybe. Let's just stick to that cup of tea I've just made a big pot of. Man, that was a good party on. My head. Oh, my head. And my throat. What party? Ellen, Louise Squared, Paula, Mary, of course, you should know you were all there. Except you, Jan. You were in Japan. Happy 2017, listeners. I'm glad that you can be with me. This was the annual party episode, and in it we were going to have a 2016 roundup and do it like Woody's roundup from Toy Story to keep a positive end, and there's a drams with a
Tamnavulin
whiskey. So pull your cosy armchair up, your craft, get your cup of tea, and let's relive the party of 2016. Show notes. Look, geese. It's now the 5th of January. Well, it was when I wrote it. More on this later. Scotland, just a bit sobered up. The rest of the world went back to work on the 2nd, but, well, we like a good dram, and this new year was no exception. There was tens of thousands of people out in Edinburgh, hunters at Thurso, and four in my house. We had the annual Caithness Craft Collective New Year party, and of course you were all invited. For my longest time listeners, Carrot Trike, who is actually coming up to my retreat. I'm so excited because she is third on my list for listeners, you know. As in, she was third in the group ever. She's been there since I started. So I'll actually get to meet her in May. And this is to my newest listener, Rena Radish, whom I've actually already met at Twin State Summer Camp. And then there's all of you in between. Be you a lurker, a full-on blatherer, a Twitter, a Facebook stalker, a drop-in now-and-again listener. Welcome, 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 welcome. Even you who've trailed mud through the freshly hoovered house, welcome in. Because I've got two, well, make that four of you already. Welcome to you tidy ones who are silently tidying up behind us. Welcome to lovely partners of you who are forced to listen to me whilst in the car or the office. Yes, you, who is put there because your partner's just said, just listen to Louise splaff on for a bit. You don't mind, do you? Well, hello to you. Welcome to pets of you whom again woof at Buchel when he's woofing or roaming around, or you meow in fright. Welcome to you all, be you pink, blue, green, brown, purple in colour, or rainbow, gender, one leg or two or three or four or eight. There's room for everyone. So you've flown in for the night. You've all got your pussy hats on. Some of you are in the Caithness Craft Collective helicopter. It has Cagney and Lacey perms, and there's lipstick on the seat, so you might have to quickly knit a seat cover. Some of you have come from further afield, and there's quite a lot of you. There's a huge plane load from the US and Canada, so you've plane shared. And then there's some from random places like Bolivian Republic of Venezuela, Cambodia, and places that the family hunt would want to come and visit on wee fancy jets. And then some of you on their hoverboards and bikes. And some of you, of course, on your broomsticks. You know who you are, you bad witchy selves. The landing strip is lit up for the May Hall again. Of course, it is the room of requirement and has expanded to fit you all. I've employed the house elves again, and they're working hard as paid labour, so much that Hermione would not get upset. I've got the room set up for every possibility. This hall is set for those less able to get around already, but we have big open areas for wheelchairs, fancy ergonomic seats and prams. There's even a massive holding area for the pets so they can run their madness off with a mad buckle safely and have as much fun as we are having. Some of them are fetching rather nice dog coats, which Buckle is contemplating for the colder days, of which we've had a few recently. A couple of storms and snow. You know, winter. Thank you, Ned Stark. We know winter is coming. Right, you're all in. You've got your knitting on the go. Your glasses, your food platters are full. Let's go. The ceilidh ramps up, and it doesn't matter if you've never tripped the light fantastic with Scottish dancing. Richard's been doing this since 1978, and he still can't do it right. But then there's Sandy and Daisy up, and they have their mother's twinkle toes. Did I tell you that I enjoy this party? Of course, there's chatter. This hall is magnificent in its acoustics. So when you're up dancing and you have the melody just the right volume for when you're dancing, but when you're sitting, you can hear each other speak without having to raise your voice or sit with your mouth in each other's ear. I'm not really keen on that. Richard does that to me. The chatter is mainly, huh, what's on your needles and what are you wearing? This is not as in a who dressed you this evening, and I'd rather talk about their work than what you've done, but a full on, oh, that suits you. I really want to make that now. Who designed it? Where can I get it? You did it. Fantastic. I love the colours. Can I feel it? How it's soft and, oh, yes, it is. And how did you enjoy knitting it? How long did it take you? What needles did you use? Oh, you used them kind of needles. And what yarn was it? And, oh, I love her stuff. You know, that kind of conversation. We have rallied a few of our designers who have some of their new work ready in a fashion show for you when we have a short intermission of the Kaylee. We'll have the twin set works. Jan, she's not here tonight. She's swanned off to Japan. But she has some lovely items for you, especially if you have an up-and-coming grandbaby brewing. Twinset Ellen's work is here along with Ellen herself. And we have Woolly Wormhead's hats. And of course there's a few heads needed for her work, of course. Look at these all running up there. Louise Tilbrook mostly socks, so the heads and the feet can share this time. And Katja Frankel has borrowed some of your bairns, and you really want them to be borrowed in a childlike way for Kate to give their items back, because, oh, Katja Frankel's knitwear in reality. Hoping Daisy gets to model the Northumberland hacks. I rather like that one. So are you drilling? Have you updated your library on Ravelry? And also, have you bought from some of the lovely stallholders set along the side? Because, why not? The house elves are set up and are manning the stalls, whilst the stallholders are out dancing and enjoy themselves too. I've just borrowed everything. Everyone that's going to be at Edinburgh Yarn Fest, and that was at Rhinebeck. This hall can take it all, you know. There's plenty of room. Look, there's Helen of Ripple's Craft. Next from Yarns from the Plain of the Dance Floor again. It's so nice to see them off their stands and enjoying themselves. So thank you, house elves. Now the hour of the midnight came upon us like Buchel to his stick. We have our glasses charged with whatever we are wanting, and let's toast the new year in. I hope 2017 is full of good things, and whatever hell you face, let's do it together in wee manageable chunks. We party on and we knit like the wind bull's eye until the light is starting to come up. And here in midwinter, I'm talking 9:03 a.m. before the big yellow chill shows his happy face. So we got a lot of knitting done. And then it's time to pack up the project bags. I see some of you have some nice new ones for Christmas. How lovely. Some of them were even from me too. I'm back on the short trip home. Although I'm not sure that broomstick is the right way round, Jane. Maybe you could stay for a little longer and I'll make you a nice cup of coffee while we wait. Thus ends the Caithness Craft Collective New Year Party for 2017. Thank you for coming and haste you back to Caithness. Now, I wrote this a few weeks ago, 5th of January actually, and so it is now the 22nd of January and I had my Burns Night Supper last night. So we might as well include the Burns Night Supper. We've had haggis, we've done the reply from the lassies, and my reply last night was incredibly independent and a strong, savvy 21st century ladies will not stand for any of Burns' nonsense unless he is shouting for us being strong and independent. But he was from a different day and I'm glad that we don't love them.
What's the crack, Citrin?
But what's a crack? It was a month since I talked to you last. I was, as I say, going to record 2 weeks ago, but I took not well and I ended up in a two-night stay in Rigmore Hospital in Inverness via ambulance with an abscess in my tonsil, and they call this condition quincy. Sadly not the ruggedly handsome medical examiner, cum detective Jack Klugman, but a very unpleasant and painful bacterial infection which required two extremely scary 4-inch needles and a burst abscess, and lots and lots of penicillin, which I'm just finished with. Thank you for your messages on social media, which really helped enormously get me through it all. Thank you for the pattern York Rose, thank you for the actual cards to use that sent it, an even huger thank you, and it made me cry when I opened it, thank you to Louise Tilbrook, who sent a beautiful shawl in the post, which keeps me warm. I'm on the road to recovery, and my nurse friend Amy is keeping an eye out that I'm not overdoing it, so don't you look afraid. I'm listening to my body, and if it says I'm doing too much, I have to go sit or for a snooze. But I am trying to do stuff and not overdo it. It's a bit of a hard one trying to work out, but I managed to get all the way down to the harbour and back to D and not stop as much. So that is something good. And I'm not as tired now that I'm home. But this has resulted in the delayed episode, which, whilst I waited on first being able to talk and then talk properly, and if my enunciation is still a little off, then that's why. And then I waited for the energy to concentrate. I mean, I'm sadly lacking that anyway, but listeners, if you ever got woken up in pain by a sore throat and it doesn't go straight into a cold that day or the next, then go to the doctors quickly, and then you won't need the 4-inch needle and the 2-night hotel in Rigmore Hospital. Okay, I'm not looking for any more sympathy because I have had my fair share. But it was the week that kept on giving. Various other serious things have happened to close family and friends and further afield friends. So I'm going to actually keep them to myself, but keep up with my 2017 mantra of look to the little things. The Knit Wars have a theme every year, and Louise Scully has a kind of motto. I've never really done it, and I don't really do resolutions. No, I'm not anyway this year, as I never get past February. But before the new year, something awful happened to somebody I know, and I'm trying to support them in how I can, which is looking to the good in the day. I touched on this episode, and you know me as quite a positive person looking for the good. Like Mr. Rogers' mum said, look to the helpers. She has a point. And so, every day I'm trying to find something that's either inspirational, funny, uplifting, or happy. This does not forget about the awful things, but it reminds us that there is good in this world, and oh yes there is. There is so much good in this world. I'm fortunate that I firstly have a buchel to immediately look to, and then Bairns and Richard, because they're at school and work, and they're always making me laugh or amazing me. For instance, upcoming, Daisy has been to an audition for Thurso Players for Wizard of Oz production, and she decided that she didn't want to be Dorothy or Glenda or even the Wicked Witch of the West. Well, I mean, she's a bit little for those roles, but she wants to be a flying monkey, and her dreams have come true. Wave that magic wand, Glenda. And then I went to Ravelry and I found an anagurumi pattern for a fly monkey. And of course, I have to make it for my little darling. So listeners, what small thing was it good today was good? Is the sun out? Have you had a lovely cup of coffee with a good friend? Have you booked your ticket to Edinburgh for the Yarn Fest? Have you found someone new on Instagram? Is the plastic finally off your polytunnels? You don't need to worry about the whole thing blowing away in the next gale. Did you make yourself a pussy hat? Did you go march? Or did you watch your feed on social media just turn pink with inspirational people and people standing up and thinking, yeah, I'm going to do this. And whilst myself, I've not yet made a pussy hat, I'm going to. And Richard was smiling and says, yeah, you should. Because it's not just for me. It's for my daughter and for your daughter and for everybody's daughter or female, because life should be equal. And equal as much as possible, both ways. And not just equal for our gender because we're female, but because for whatever religion you are, for whatever sexuality you are, just equality. And the world would be a much better place. And I like how we got knitting in amongst the march, because they were really cool. They could really, really stand out, and I just thought I was so inspired. So well done to everybody in for doing that. Retreat. Listeners, I am pleased to say that my retreat is now full up. I'm so excited. I've had more than last year too, so this is stupendous. The cheques were all cashed for the deposits, and I put the deposits on 5 cabins and the conference room. And now I'm pondering for the goodie bag and contents, and I've had an offer already from Jean's Gardening Witch. Yeah, she's the one on the having a cup of coffee just now. Was it just saying she was a witch? It's her moniker. And she's already offered items to go into it. And I'll open this up if anybody would like to offer raffle prizes or coupons please get in touch and I will give you return publicity and make you a friend of the show. And I've not done much more than thought about it in the past fortnight, but the hard work for me now is starting. The full amount is due on the 1st of February, which is in a couple of weeks, if you've not already paid it, because some of you have. And I'm not going to bleat on too much on the podcast. I will on email, but I don't want to get the other listeners to have too much FOMO, fear of missing out, and don't get too upset.
The swap section.
Swap. The Christmas swap was done and dusted. Everybody eventually got theirs. There was one late arrival, but it's fine. The swappies agreed with each other and it came in the post again. Don't worry about it from my side of things, but it's a shame it happened, but never mind. It got there eventually and I'm sure it was nice to open a parcel later after Christmas. The next swap, I thought maybe we'd do that in March, which was about a month away. It's going to be my 7th year podcasting to you lovely people. And I think we could maybe do 7 items or something to do with the number 7. The letter 7. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Louise, come on. Sesame Street yourself here. I'll bring that up maybe in a future episode.
Coming up. It's there.
Coming up, the ICHF is coming to Glasgow the first weekend of March. And I'm not going. Mum is, with lots of quilters. But if you're in Glasgow and you are into quilting, or in Scotland, anywhere, Bueller, and you want to go to that, do go, because you can stock up your crafty goodness, and the March one's always really, really good. They've got a actual dedicated hall to quilting and sewing this year, so it's probably a good job, because I just spent lots of money that I don't have. Because the weekend after, on the 10th and 11th of March, and a few days before and after, the Edinburgh Yarn Fest is open for business. So there's going to be workshops and stall holders for the marketplace. Your main point of podcast contact is, of course, Cagney to my Lacey, Knit British Louise, and she'll be having the interviews with the stall holders or workshop takers, and she is the moderator, main point of contact for helping with the Blacker podcast, which I'll mention in a second. And also, she came up with this really cool idea of do a podcast yourself around the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. All you need is an iPhone or a phone that will record some kind of voice media, and we'll be on hand, us podcasters, to talk you through what you should and shouldn't do. And I just think it would be really quite cool. You don't have to do more than 3 minutes. That's really all you need. Hello, I'm in Edinburgh, I'm talking to so-and-so, I've got something interesting to say, and out you go. And the main thing will be to get over the sound of listening to your own voice, because nobody likes that very much. And then all of a sudden, all you're hearing is the edits. As if you edit it, you don't have to edit it. If you're a really good interviewer or thinker, I edit it because my brain slows down sometimes, almost to the speed of a sloth, and I forget what I want to say. Anyway, the podcast lounge again has been sponsored by Blacker Yarns, whom I absolutely love. I suggested to Louise it might be a cool thing to have an Edinburgh Yarn Fest garment. You know, like the Rhinebeck has its Rhinebeck sweater, and Shetland Wool Week has its hat. And how cool would it have to be, like a specific, I don't know, Edinburgh Yarn Fest shawl, and it became a thing. You make an advance and then you all admire your handiwork, and, well, sometimes lack of it, because everybody's like, oh, I started this, but I'm wearing last year's one. Sometimes the fun is just making it, really. So Louise took this to Sonia of Blacker Yarns, lovely, lovely Sonia, and they came back with the podcal, which is where that includes you, dearest listeners. All of you. And you make a garment, any garment, although it's 22nd of January, so I suggest it's not the most massive of garments. And then you sign up in the Blacker Yarns Ravelry group, and actually I need to do that. And then you present yourself with your finished item on the day, and you should receive some money off on the Blacker stand. And I think that that is fantastic. Now, I bought Blacker yarn last year, and how cool would it be? Use it all up, and then you can go and get yourself a cardigan's worth more of yarn with a discount. So it's just a total win-win-win-win-win-win-win situation. You're winning. You're all winners, listeners. So you have cast this on the 19th of January, and then you cast it off by the 4th of March, and signing up on the Blacker Ravelry group. So the hashtag is hashtag BlackerPodCal. I cast on my Newell cardigan by Cecily Glowick MacDonald, and I'm using West Country Tweed, and this is a woolen spun, 100% wool, and a wine red tweed with flakes of blue in it. I bought it last year at Edinburgh Yarn Fest. I had a lovely time when I did that. So I'm standing there going, well, I want to make this cardigan, but I know I need so much yarn, and now I'm talking and I'm all looking at all this wool, and this is what happens in Louise's brain when she goes into a yarn shop anywhere in the world, especially a yarn festival. And she goes, well, I know that I need so much. I think I need 1,000 metres, and I need it in double knit. But you're presenting me with yarn that just says 300 metres, and I have to count, and I can't do that. So please just help me. And you know what? Sonia did. So if you're a bit gleeked, hello. Even if you're not gleeked and you just know what you want, she's so helpful. And the Blacker staff have just got such a nice way about them. So my pattern, I realised that the pattern's quite advanced. It's like, I think it's written in the way, old school way of less is more information. And also at the same time. And you already know which stitch you start with when it says reverse stocking stitch on the wrong side. However, it does say read everything as you do things at the same time. But I love the style of the cardigan more than I love the way the pattern is written. Especially the pockets, because then I get to be a hobbitses. And it has I-cord edges. So I wonder if I'm going to get it done before the Edinburgh Yarn Fest. Keep listening, listeners. I do plan to be a bit more regular recording after this one. So you still have time to sign up for this and get something made from your Blacker yarns, as I reckon most of you listeners will have some in your stash. You can always still buy some quite quickly. And you don't have to make something huge. You could make a pair of mitts, fingerless mitts, or a shawlette, or a hat. And because you've finished this, you're still eligible for your money off your next purchase. And if you're quick too, Louise Tilbrook has 50% off coupon on her 3 Blacker focused designs for this knit along, which I think is really quite cool too. Now I'm afraid, I still don't know if I can go. Richard's work, I've not yet told him if he's going to Sweden, if he is or if he isn't, and what dates it's going to be. So he might not be in the country, which means I can't go. But Louise and I, well, I have my fingers crossed, and I just hoping I'll be there, if nothing else, to say hello to you and lead you through all the podcast lounge stuff. And I'm still knitting like the wind, bullseye. Right, also the lovely Joe and Mika have got another Wool Tribe magazine book. It's kind of a cross between a book and a magazine. It's one of those really, really nice, hard-covered, softback books. I think that's what I'm going to say. And they've got the Festival Companion magazine. And you can pre-order it today for posting out tomorrow. And there's 6 patterns in it. And there'd be lovely articles with lovely pictures in there too. And you're looking at the Traquair hat and mitten set by our very own friend of the show, Amanda B. Collins. And she's used Skein Queen's yarns. And they're really, really nice. I don't know how Amanda has all these hours in this day. I think she has a time machine. There's a Gladsmere cushion cover by Jane Crowfoot with Jameson's of Shetland Spindrift. And that's quite impressive. Don't know if you get that finished before Edinburgh Yarn Fest. But The Ormiston is a large shawl wrap by Francesca Hughes, and the Little Grey Sheep Cotland Double Knit. It's huge. I would be so impressed if you were wearing that come March the 10th. I mean, there's a challenge for you. And don't let me not let you eat for the rest of the month. But that would be impressive. Because there's a lot of knitting in it. And it looks just so cosy. I would do that from just wrapping around me. How nice would that be to give that to somebody who wasn't well or needed a hug? Just fantastic. MacMary socks by Claire Devine are lovely clear. And this is in the gorgeous Brit sock by Knitting Goddess. There's Bellside, a triangular shawl by Rennie Callahan in Kettle Yarn Company's yarns. And it's lovely. I remember seeing the pictures. It's quite a striking shawl that they've got because they've used quite different colours of blue and grey. And then we end with a Sunwick cowl by Donna Smith. And it's using Uradale yarn in double knit. So it looks beyond me, but I'm sure it isn't beyond any of you. In fact, none of this is actually beyond anybody, as long as you take your time. And I would thoroughly recommend that you go and pre-order the Wool Tribe book, because I know they sold out last year of the 2016. So, let's see, how much does it cost? £10? Shipped worldwide. That's no expensive, is it?
The Beaker section.
Right, on to the me front. I did finish something over the holidays, and it was the Knit Your Love Shawlette by Martina Behm. It's a small asymmetrical shawlette. Well, I wouldn't say small, it's quite long actually. And it has hearts running up one side. I used Space Cadets mini skeins, and these were in various pinks and purples and greys that Denise, and I used Denise, no. And also I had to finish it off with some stash yarn. One of them was a mini skein from Scotch Tweed. And it was just really, really nice. It had little flakes of blue in it. And the last one was a Knit Picks 4-ply that I had made a sock bunny by Susan B. Anderson in. And it was quite nice just to have these colours tied in. And it's a really nice way of using up bits of yarns as well. There was a wee bit of sewing in at the end because I had used mini skeins, and this shawl would work fine in a one skein as well. It would work fine in a plain colour, or it works fine in variegated colours or even a gradient. So if you fancy just a really nice Moorish shawlette, do go look at Knit Your Love by Martina Behm. And I used my Denise interchangeable sets because you do need a pointy point, because you do a lot of knit three together stitches and quite funky pick things up, and you're manipulating stitches quite a bit. So I really, really love it. So thank you, Louise, for gifting me the pattern. And I will think of you every time I wear it. I've worn it a few times, but it's not yet blocked and the hearts aren't there yet. They didn't knit into hearts, they're kind of diamondish shape, but sitting in the bathroom waiting for me to soak it and also then go and block it, because it'll need quite a considerable amount of pins and blocking, and I haven't had the energy yet. Also, Richard's hat that I made with the buffalo wool last year, he said it's just becoming a bit loose, so I'm contemplating sticking it in the washing machine. I just can't quite bring myself to do it in case it shrinks too much. So I thought I would soak it first and try and shock wash it a little bit in the sink before I commit knit or suicide and chuck it in the washing machine. That sigh was from Buchel. It was very well timed. As mentioned, I've cast on the new cardigan and I am enjoying working with the Waste Country Tweed. It's sturdy in its woolen spun, and I think it'll hold the shape of the cardigan well and just sit nicely. I've got written nice drape, but I don't think it has a drape as such. It'll hold its shape really well. I did my swatch. Get me, all you non-swatchy types. Look at how smug my face is. I'm not that smug because I forgot to wash it. But I'm finding that the 4mm knitting it is a little tight to knit, but it's giving me the right tension square number, so I'm going for that. Occasionally there's been a wee bit of straw in amongst the yarn, but it kind of prickles my finger, so I'm aware of it there. So I just pull it out as I go, and instead of knitting it in and then coming back and going, what's that prickly for? The cardigan is a raglan from the top down, and the increase I'm using stitch I found in the Martina Bain pattern. And this is where you knit your stitch over, you pass your stitch over, and then the old stitch that you've just dropped off the needle, you find the front leg of it underneath. You pick it up with your left needle and then you knit into the back of it to create a new stitch increase. And it doesn't give quite as big a hole on your raglan. Although, maybe you need the big hole for this pattern. I don't know. I'm just going to keep measuring it and see how I get on. But I really like this increase. I've also been tasked with knitting a hat for my father-in-law's 80th birthday coming up this week. I had in my stash some merino and bamboo handspun, which I got in a swap from Fondant Fibres. And I'm using the Ray Holt pattern by Diana Waller, and it's a beanie hat, and she was inspired from her time in Iceland, which I thought, well, I've been in Iceland, therefore I'll be inspired too. And this Fondant Fibres handspun, I had wound it a long time ago. I wanted to make a hat for myself or a headband or something, and it's sport weight, so I had been put off. But you start at the top of the hat and the crown, and you increase out. Then you knit down the body of the hat, but instead of going into a rib and casting off, you knit double the length of the body, and then you decrease and cast off again, and then it is like a deflated rugby ball shape. So then you pop the extra part of hat inside the other one, inside, and ta-da! It's a double-sided hat! It will be well toasty for father-in-law's heed. But I would say, but I'm actually past the halfway point now, and but it's sport weight on 3.5mm needles, and there's a lot of knitting in it. Thankfully, it's just knit, 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 knit all the long day through. Knit, 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 knit. I shall be a small, grumpy dwarf. Knit, 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 knit. Is that the right? Hi ho. And it's brilliant for somebody whose brain won't go for complicated lace just now. Plus, the fibre is nice to work with, and the colour of it is brown, a wee flecks of blue, and it's just right for his quiet dog walking days through the forest. I did get the Marvel crochet book for Christmas, and I have it already sitting ready to go to make Iron Man or Spider-Man, and Daisy was after Black Widow, I think. I can't remember which one she wanted, but Sandy's got first dibs on this because she's getting an Ewok. You know, they're not getting socks. I've forgotten about Daisy's socks. I'm needing to take out the socks and keep going, and I'm just not convinced that they fit, so I might just take the whole thing out. Yeah. I don't always tell you when I take stuff out, but I think I'm going to take that out. And also, the woolly wormhead hat that I was knitting for Daisy, I kind of had gone wrong a little bit in the pattern, and I thought, I'll maybe take that back to the crown, the rib. And then I had thought, I could use this handspun that I had done for her hat, because the red and the green, whilst it should not be seen except on an Irish queen, is beautiful together, and it reminds me of Christmas poinsettias. So then I had thought, well, maybe I should just use the handspun for part of the start of the hat and do sort of the rib and the handspun and the rest of the hat in the green, which was a skinny bugger green. I don't think it was merino, which is knits beautifully, but then you see my DPNs, which I'd been waxing lyrical about the clover premium dark bamboo. One of the points split because it was wood, and I filed it down, but it was really getting on my nerves. So I thought, oh, I'm not getting very far on this. I've made a mistake, and I'd rather it was something else. And the Christmas elf took it out. It was strewn all over the living room. So Elfie did it for me. And it was really good because Elfie didn't manage to get it all in a knot, which I was a bit worried about when Elfie undid it. But Elfie managed not to. So well done, Elfie. So that's things I've taken out and not finished and not mentioned. Richard really loved his textile art piece that I made him for Christmas, and so much so he put it up in pride of place in the kitchen. I never thought about it, it might get dirty in there, but so far it's okay. It's underneath the medals, and it's the triathlon textile art piece where I painted on a swimmer, a cyclist, mountain biker actually, and a runner, and I had great fun. And I did then go back and tidy everything up and caught up with stuff I hadn't done when he came home from work. So what have you been doing? Was it a cup of tea? Just evading questions about what I'd been doing. And I have bought a jelly roll in creams and whites. My jelly roll is fabric cut in 2.5-inch strips. And they all come corresponding colours for quilting. And this was from Colton Patch in the UK. And I'm going to make a comfort quilt for someone very important to me who's going through a very tough time just now and has to go through an operation soon. So I want to make a fast quilt in the next fortnight. It's not Mum, don't panic. And I was going to have a roundup of what I had made on Ravelry in 2016. And I think I'm going to do it next episode because my throat's starting to hurt now. And this episode's long enough. And I've got to update my items on Ravelry. I haven't thought I've actually been very good at my housekeeping recently. So we bounce back. So watch this space. Drams. On to the drams this episode. Remember the drams? We did some drams over the holidays before things went wrong. If you're not into the drinking or the shopping, then thank you for listening. And I will catch you next episode because there's only the shoppy section and the blah 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 stuff after. But if you are into the drinking and the shopping, stay tuned. This episode sees Richard and I drink a Tamnavoulin whiskey.
We're drumming. I hope you like drumming too.
Hello, listeners. Welcome into this episode of The Drams.
Hello.
Who are you? Hello, who are you?
Me.
I haven't heard from you for a little while.
No.
You okay?
I'm fantastic, thank you.
Excellent.
More or less. Give or take. Bit worn out by the end of the year.
Oh, it's getting that way. Yeah. We're now in the time between Christmas and New Year, the dead time. So we decided to do the drams to brighten a dull night up.
Yes.
So this episode we have a Tamnavoulin.
Tamnavoulin from Speyside, single malt Scotch whisky, double cask, matured in American oak barrels with a sherry cask finish. Product of Scotland.
Oh, good. The box.
There we go. While you're describing the box, I'm going to pour myself a wee beer because I'm having a half and a half tonight.
Okay. Better tell newer listeners what a half and a half.
And that's the Isle of Arran Blonde Premium Beer from the Isle of Arran. I'm into blondes tonight.
I'm dark-haired.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. It's a fleeting moment. It won't last long.
So what's a half and a half?
Half and a half. Well, when I was young, Lynn, and I used to go into pubs and stuff, when the rare occasions I frequent the pubs, the old mannies would be sitting there in their or normal seats, and they'd be yarning about the old stuff, and they would all sit there with a wee half beer and a wee dram, and it's known traditionally as a half and a half.
Thank you.
Across the whole of Scotland, I think.
I would say so.
Yes.
Right, so the box, it is mostly dark brown with a very small strip of turquoise at the bottom, which is quite nice, and it's got a band more than 3/4 of the way down, and it's cream band with writing on telling you about the whisky. Halfway up, it's got Tamnavoulin, the mill on the hill, Speyside, single malt Scotch whisky, double cask, matured in American oak barrels with a sherry cask finished, product of Scotland, which Richard's told you. And it's outlined in a goldy copper colour. The top part has its distillery
logo.
Sorry,
emblem.
Uh-huh. And the brown itself is sort of a dark brown on black, and it's like a lino print.
It's kind of like a wooden.
Yeah, wooden block.
Like a
print of the distillery scenery, which is quite like that actually.
It's actually got design in it. If you look carefully, look, it's the building, have a gable end.
That's what I'm saying. It's a lino print design of.
Is that what it's called? Right. Okay.
Of the distillery.
Every day's a school day.
Yeah. It's a lovely.
I just see the gable end in trees.
Somebody's taken a long time to cut that out. Yeah. So quite an understated box, but we like understated because it means that the inside of the box.
Well, you know what I like about things like that?
It's better.
Every time you look at it, you find something new.
Yeah.
Every time you look, you see something just that little bit extra.
And it's nice. A bog standard square cubo D type one. Our cardboard affair. And the bottle is
almost finished.
Oh no, Richard, there's a good 2 inches left in that.
How long have we had it? A long time.
We have actually. I've been telling listeners that we were going to do these drams for the past 2 episodes, so that's at least a month. Do you know, some people have drinks cabinets where they keep a little droppy of some kind of drink in it for years and years and years.
No.
We don't seem to achieve that.
We get one bottle. Unless it's a Christmas present or something like that, and we maybe get a couple of bottles.
Oh, we got one. What's that?
Talisker.
Yes, from a friend, Shirley. Ballantine's?
Yeah, I think so.
From my
niece. I'm getting mice tested.
There's no need to say that. So the bottle shape itself is the traditional one.
The kind that James would feed his pet lamb with.
Doesn't have lambs, it's coos.
A pet coo.
Has James had his information back yet?
So far so good, but no, not yet.
Alright. Oh. And in the label, on the back of the label, there's a...
Is it batch number?
No, I'm not bothered about the batch number, that's boring. The label, on the back of the label...
I never noticed that like
you
that.
You could see through the bottle. You could probably see through with the whiskey, but we've not got a lot much left, so...
Oh, you can see it through the whiskey.
And
you
it's
can.
Got the design of what's on the box, sort of the
it's a mill,
lino
a water
print
mill.
Of the mill.
It's a watermill.
So it's pretty cool.
That is cool, I like that.
And then the labels is brown and beige, and the highlight picking up is turquoisey aqua.
The detail going into that design of the box and bottle is as good as the detail going into the Monkey Shoulder website. That to me is great. Someone's taking pain and effort
time,
to that.
Yeah.
And it's not a very... Well, I don't think it's a very popular or well-known whiskey. I was reading a bit about its history, and it's not been around for very long.
Right.
Because of its
past.
We'll
come on to that. That's not in our order yet. Come on, we're following the order.
Well, you know, I like to break convention.
Colour. Right, well, not much left. So what's the colour of where... 2.5 inches worth
of
what? Now, is it Chewbacca colour or the Wookiee that was on the extra Wookiee that we saw?
For blinking, you missed him.
We went to see Rogue One, listeners. We'll not give you any spoilers or anything to say.
I'm not a massive fan of Star Wars or the pictures, but I loved it. It was great.
I thought it was one of the best ones. It is really difficult not to give you any more spoilers or more information on it, but yeah. So, the bottom part of that label looks like it's been ripped, or do you think that that is the hills and...
Oh, I never noticed that either.
It's kind of like in a rippy kind of... It could be the skyline that they've got there. So, it does have a batch number, which is 0308. It's distilled, matured, bottled in Scotland, set in the banks of the Corey Stream and the River Livet. We draw our water from underground springs and the Easterton Hills. Formed by snow melt from the surrounding mountains, this water is naturally filtered through ancient limestone rock. Lovely.
Nice clean water.
Do you know, look, read Graham Morgan. G. Looks like G. Morgan.
I was out cycling with Graham Morgan this morning.
Not that one. Oh.
No. A different Graham Morgan.
I'll take it out. I would say that was definitely a Chewbacca colour. But quite a clean Chewbacca.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a clean Chewbacca.
Straight out the bath.
Yeah. He's been having his Christmas bubble bath.
Yeah.
So, the cork, my dear?
seen him bossing it.
At the top of the bottle, it says Gareth Morgan.
Oh, it's Gareth, Graham's brother. It's Graham's
we'll
brother.
Have to ask Graham if he's related. Oh, and on the bridge, what's that part called? The shoulder.
The shoulder
of the bottle, there is a embossed in glass Tam Nivulin Distillery sort of logo-y label. Looks quite cool.
That skyline does look like it's been cut. It's very sort of neat edges on it, but
yeah.
I'm intrigued. I'm trying to see something else that has a similar...
Well, they've got it on that label. Oh, it's
yeah, it's on
front.
There.
It's
yeah,
very, very subtle.
I like that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You just study this for ages. It's a shame we've got so little left.
I know.
Right, the cork.
No squeak, but a resounding emptiness.
Right, shall I pour?
Yes, please.
Oh, I dribbled.
No, we didn't be wasting any of it. There's no much left.
Right.
So then we do the smell. Quite sharp.
Quite woody. Tannins are woody.
Yeah, wood.
Tannins, aye. Like leather, tannins and wood.
Hold on, listeners. We'll just whiskey.
Okay, it's on something in the background there as well. It's not... It's, oh, what's that? It might just be, I'm just out of the bath, so it might just be the soap.
No, I don't think so. There's a few smells in there that's whiskey and sharp and...
Sharp, kind of flowery.
Yeah.
Flowery kind of smell as well.
Right, so will we read what it says on the tasty notes for the nose?
Look at the colour, look at that colour. Hold that up and look at the colour.
Oh, right. Oh, that's like definitely Chewbacca the day he was born. Out the bath of his bubble bath.
So you're going to read that, but it'll prime your brain as to what you're going to taste as well. So
it was just for the nose.
I know the smell of the nose.
I was only going to do the nose.
Well, I've done it. I'll see here. We'll have to do this so it's not going anything away. Are you ready? So I've got my hand over it here. Tasting notes. Matured in American oak we've barrels for a sweet mellow taste with a rich colour. Amber gold.
Do you mean, listeners, that's Chewbacca colour. Amber. What do they know?
Yeah, that's so pretentious. Nose, right, ready?
Yeah.
Nose. Rich, warm aromas of apple. Toffee, I never got toffee.
No.
And honey, no, I never got honey. With sweet marzipan. I could see with the marzipan, that woody kind of flowery smell.
Sharp.
And subtle, tangy marmalade notes. I didn't get marmalade, but it's certainly something.
If there's marmalade in that, we're going to have Bloomin' Paddington coming round the door looking for his sandwiches.
Yeah, have Paddington.
I like Paddington, I but like this is my whiskey Paddington.
The problem with Paddington is if he comes in, it's like, I want to stay a couple of days. No problem, Paddington, make yourself at home. 2 weeks later.
So Paddington.
You're having to wait to get in the shower because Paddington's wrecking the place.
Well, yeah, he's going to be having his bath and not knowing how to do and... Dizzy's just got a new bubble bath for Christmas.
And it's not like you can send him to work around the house doing stuff to earn his keep.
Is Paddington...
Freeloader. He's a freeloader.
Do you think he's too young to drink whiskey?
Oh, he's a bairn, aye.
Ah, well.
Yeah, he's a bairn because he's sort of at that age where he could easily
Maybe we
get...
should drink the whiskey quick then because then he's not going to get the sniff.
Oh, but just to be safe.
And he'll just stay in London with the Browns after
just to be
a
safe.
Fight.
Although I don't really have many drinking days left. I'll explain in a while.
Okay, right. So, do me a bit of... Oh, dropping down the glass. Let's see. See how good a malt this
looks
is.
Very good.
It's kind of clinging. There's big fat legs coming down there.
Mm-hmm.
That means it's got a lot of malt in it. Yes, listeners. Look, geese. Pour the water, dear.
Look, geese.
I always do that in the winter. If I've said something and I don't want to kind of like carry on saying I've mucked up or...
There's plenty of geese
I'll
about
just
here
go,
just now.
Look, geese, and then I'll insert the sound of the geese.
There's plenty of geese.
In the summertime I do, look, swallows.
That's a good sculp of water.
Is it?
And do you want more?
A little bit, please. Might be a good sculp of water for ye, but...
Do you want another one?
Well, we'll see. So I can't remember. I think that this needs a good dollop of water.
We'll soon find out.
Right, sans va, cheers.
Sans va.
quite sweet, but there's a burn at the back of my throat.
It's nice.
My back of my tongue. Burny.
No, I'm not getting burny. I am getting a sort of toffee marzipan-y flavour, but it's something else. I'm not reading the note. I'm not looking at it deliberately. I could,
well, honey, do you think it's
yeah,
honey?
Yeah, I could say the honey. I never smelt the honey, but I'm tasting it.
It's the sort of feeling that you get with toffee and honey, so it goes over your tongue.
Yes.
It's more of the feeling.
Spot
sort
on.
Of,
you're on the money there, right?
The niceness and the loveliness that envelops your tongue when you've got syrupy sugar honey on it. I love toffee. Subliminal message, send me all your toffee listeners.
No, honey.
You're
honey.
Back in the room.
Honey, we want honey.
You can only get honey from certain places.
I know, it's a glut. Not gloves. There's a...
Shortage
of honey.
I'm on the bees!
Aye. I'm supporting bees. Okay. That's very tasty. Will we look at the tasting notes and see what it said?
Hold on. It's 70 centilitre bottle and it's 40% alcohol volume.
40% alcohol. How much is 70 centilitres?
Less than a litre. 700 millilitres.
Well done.
No, that's stupid.
Palate. Fresh, mellow notes of pear. Never got that. Creamy peaches. Never got that. Pineapple.
Pineapple?
Never got that. But a hint of demerara sugar.
I'm definitely getting
definitely
sugar.
Got that.
See,
and the finish, rich, smooth, and refreshing. Rich, did you taste me?
No, it didn't taste
me. Signature Speyside malt. It's a lovely malt.
It is
it's
nice.
Nice.
I'm
it's
not getting any of them pineapple-y things, though.
No.
So.
Oh, yeah,
I wouldn't agree with that.
No.
They light themselves down.
It's not the season for pineapples.
Joe, where's it from? What area is it from?
Speyside.
You read the notes.
Glenlivet Way.
Well, actually, I read the notes.
I did say something about a burn. It was beside a burn somewhere.
Listeners, where did I say it was from? You can just go back a few minutes. Right. Ballindalloch.
Is it Ballindalloch?
Yeah.
Where's it say that?
I've been there. Ballindalloch Distillery. There.
Yeah, in the foothills of the Cairngorm Mountains. Tucked away in the banks of the River Livet. I've been to Glenlivet. And I've mountain biked to Glenlivet. Yeah.
There's a lot of distilleries around there.
It's mental. How many distilleries are there? Okay. Now here we go. I've got my half and my half here.
Mm-hmm.
So we go blonde. And we go golden Chewbacca.
So, who are you inviting for your dram?
Well, Quattro.
Totally agree with you.
Because he was one of a kind. He was my wee boy. And you know, it's funny, a couple of things have happened today that I've just... Because I'm fairly...
Pragmatic
and down to earth about these things and don't hold a lot of sentiment about stuff. But obviously, I was cut to pieces when Quattro died back in October the 14th. And when we got him as a puppy, there's a couple of bands that I used to play a lot. One was Primal Scream, and he loved them. And the other was the Charlatans, and he wasn't a fan of them.
I am.
So on his last day, I played him Primal Scream. And it was just one of them things. And then I played it today just because it was handy, it was on, and I played it. It's the first time I've played it. And also, Buchel, who I think maybe learnt a few wee tricks off the master. One was with his ball. He'd come in and look at you and then drop his ball. Then he'd go, dunk, 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 dunk. And he'd expect you to throw it for him. And if you didn't, he'd pick it up again, look at you, and drop it again. Dunk, 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 dunk. And you know he was doing that today. And you recorded him doing it as well.
Yeah, I've got a picture, well, a small video of Daisy with her new pottery wheel she got for Christmas. And Sandy comes in the background and so does Buchel. And then all you can hear is, dun, 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 dun.
So anyway, you having quattro?
Well, I was going to have quattro, yes.
It's no harm in us both having quattro.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a multitude of dead celebrities that you could have.
But they're not precious to me at all. Even the ones that I like their music, I like their films, I like the work they did. There's a lot of scientists and really, really top class people that have bettered this planet, and they don't get the same kudos or...
The man
or
that found the smallpox.
That's got to go in the notes. That's got to go in it.
No, it can't. It's a family friendly podcast. I think his name is Duncan Henderson, is he?
I don't know.
Oh. Well, I'll just say that the Manny who found the smallpox vaccine or how to eradicate it, he died, which I'd say was very, very, very important to humankind.
I'm curious to know why this year it's been more made more aware. I don't know if it's more prolific or it's just the fact that people of a certain age, but it's a wide range of people between 60 and 90, really. So it's not as if it's a certain generation that are just coming to the end of their lives. It just seems, maybe it was just the start of the celebrity sort of fanzine with everyone being interested in that stuff, which is, I suppose that's the way of the world these days.
Well, maybe it's just that there's been quite a few celebrities who have such high profiles.
Yeah, I mean, well, in public media, not in my life as such.
No, because you've not met many of them, any of them, I don't think.
No, well, don't think so. Anyway.
What's that?
Right, do we get the laptop over and I'll read you a bit about the distillery? No? And who else are you inviting round? Anyone else?
Just my listeners for their annual New Year party, I think would be good.
Yes, it's okay, I'll be driving.
Why?
Well, I might have a wee dram in the night, but I'm driving you to do the Dorrery Dash.
Oh, so I can drink whiskey on the top of a hill again. And be drunk by the time I come down.
And be angry, drunk.
Fantastic.
Yes, and then I'm training again for various things next year. So.
What are you training for, Richard?
Well, so far I'm signed up to the Cape Wrath Marathon, which I did last year for the first time, my first marathon, and it's touted as one of the hardest ones because it's so hilly and bleak and barren. So I'll do that again. You have to stop the clock, and you have to get a ferry back to the mainland and stuff. Although the Cape is attached to the mainland, it's only accessible by one road, unless you come in from the rough walking in. But I'd try and get my time under 4 hours this time. That was 4:06 in May. And then in September, I am signed up for the Braveheart, which again I did for the first time this year. Did okay, so I'm going to do that again, see if I can better my time. Braveheart Triathlon, yes. And which is the day before the Baxter's Ness Marathon,
which I'm not doing.
And when I get round to entering it, I'm going to hopefully get a place in the UK Ironman Triathlon, which is in Bolton. But I'm not. I tried to get into Keltman this year, which is a big one, and it's like out in the west coast of Scotland, in Applecross, Torridon kind of way, and it's a beast, but I never got a place in it, so I'll try and get Bolton. It's a bit more of a vanilla triathlon, it's on roads and flat, but it's a good starting point, I think. It's just so expensive. I'm going to do a wee podcast on my own, maybe, if I get the right guidance and help from my lovely wife, who seems to be quite successful at it. So once I start getting into training, I'll probably not be having many drams. Maybe once every few weeks I'll have a wee treat.
I get to be his coach and boss him around.
You do. I'm volunteering for it too, because I need coaching? coaching and some moderation. Louise is the moderator of me.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Right, so this dram, would you have it again?
I would. I like it. It's subtle. It's maybe not the most, it's certainly not a distinctly flavoured dram.
No, I'd never be able to pick that out of a...
No, but I tell you, I can't fault it for taste.
No, it's nice.
For the nose,
mm-hmm.
The aftertaste, it's lovely.
It's quite burny, like sharp.
I think there's other drams. If I was in a bar and someone said, "Do you fancy a dram?" I go, "Aye, okay, what do you fancy?" Generally, your eyes kind of glances to the ones you know, the distinct flavoured ones,
mm-hmm.
and the ones you've got some sort of attachment to.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I'd probably be sitting there in the, it could be sitting right in the middle of the shelf, and I wouldn't take it because it's such a indistinct one. But it's a very pleasant dram.
But if somebody went to the bar and says, "Right, I'm going to go get you a dram," or you didn't know they were getting you a dram, and they placed it in front of you, it would be...
I would be happy with that.
Yeah,
definitely. Mm. I tell you what we didn't say,
what?
Was where we got it from and how much it was.
Right. Well, where did we get it from?
I can't remember, and I can't remember. It was such a long time ago. Was it? It was Tesco's, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was on special.
Was it £25 or something?
Yeah, something like that. It was reduced anyway because somebody was, when I went past the bit where they reduced them all in WIC Tesco's, she was on her phone to her other person, and saying, "Oh, the Tamra Villain's on special." I felt like saying, "Get it, it's fine."
Because I think I was there, I bought it, didn't I?
You did. You came
and
home
said, "We haven't done this one, have we?"
No. Yeah, I would drink it again.
Oh, definitely. Well, we've only got a little bit left to drink again.
Oh. Well, there you go. We might just finish that off tonight.
Mm-hmm.
With it being the dead time between now and New Year.
It's a funny time of year because everyone's sort of breathing out a big sigh of relief after getting through Christmas and their turkeys and Christmas dinners and relatives and family and friends and stuff, and it's great, but it's quite intense. It's an intense period packed in such a small,
yeah, and you feel like you're just kind of letting it all relax after the busyness of before Christmas, because there was the 2 weeks before Christmas there was something on for the children every day, or we had to do stuff for, and you constantly trying to remember everything. There was lists everywhere, and then we got Storm Barbara and then Storm Connor. So,
but Barbara never really blew much.
No, she didn't.
Connor had a bit of a kind of bad breath to him. He raked a few things.
Yeah, we've had hacked off a fair bit more of that polytunnel, listeners.
The irony being,
polytunnel,
I was supposed to
never
be
dying.
I was in availability for faults for my work. And I never got called. And then we went to Oban to see my folks. And then 7 a.m, I got phoned, "Can I go to a fault in Betty Hill," which is up in the far north coast of Scotland, about 50 miles from here, and about 350 miles from Oban. "Can I go to a fault in Betty Hill?" No, I'm on holiday. I'm in Oban, and I'm in my bed. Sorry. But it's kind of weird at work as well, because everyone's running down and all the sites that are getting built are shut down for 2 weeks. And you're trying to get things done, trying to get everything finished off. But I quite often work this time.
You do, aye. What do you get just to chill out and...
Oh, aye. I'm working next week.
Running and a bit of cycling, a bit of tidying things up.
Well, I was cycling a day. We went running yesterday.
We did.
And I did a wee run back to my folks' house.
A bit of relaxation after the elves. Those elves, they've gone. Santa took them with him.
Do the listeners know about our elf infestation?
Yes, the listeners
I'm glad they've gone. I'm really glad.
They're quite tiring critters after a while, every night. I can't say I'm missing them.
At all. They were going to get lynched. There was going to be a lynching.
Yeah, well, there was mouse traps involved, but...
That was a fire.
That was a fire. Maybe that's Santa crackling the Christmas gods like Loki and Thor.
Mm. You know, this is the first rounds we've done since Quarrow, you know that?
Yeah.
Which was the beginning of October.
It is, because we're missing heavy snoring, breathing in front of her.
Snoring by the fire and his wee scowly face. Being like, Quarto, can you do this? No.
No.
He was his own dog. He was his own dog.
We certainly can laugh about him now.
Mm-hmm. We were running yesterday in Oban with a friend of mine from school, way back. And we were running around when Quarto was a puppy, when I was training him, but I was doing my physiotherapy when I smashed everything and had to learn to walk and stuff again. We were up there running about.
Mm-hmm.
It's all bits of haven't really changed much.
No, it was quite good. It's quite hilly, but
it's good hills.
Pickle enjoyed himself. He had a lovely run.
Oh, with Bonnie.
Bonnie,
my mate Gavin's dog.
I'd have him run for a dram.
Gav.
Hmm.
I don't think he drinks an awful lot.
Well, he could have.
No, but you see him, he's skinny on a rake and fast. Fast eyes.
Well, sometimes we have people around that don't actually drink. And we don't.
Quite often, eh?
We don't make them drink the alcohol part of the whiskey because this is magic. They just taste it and tell us what they think the taste is.
Mm-hmm.
Figuratively speaking, because it's all made up in our heads.
Because
We can't have Quattro for a dram. Because he didn't drink alcohol anyway.
No, you never had any alcohol.
I didn't go too drunk.
Oh.
He'd be like Rabsy Nesbitt.
Devastation.
You.
Maybe we'd chill out and be a lover.
No, Quattro would be like, see you. See you, I'll tell you this.
No, I'll tell you something.
That's it. Buchel. See that Buchel. Can I think of how to say this without swearing, listeners, so I won't. But, Quattro would be funny if he was drunk and could speak.
It's hectic being inside your head sometimes, eh?
It is. Quattro understood me perfectly. Oh, well, here's to Quattro.
Slangevat. Oikivat.
And I have no comment on it because I haven't edited it yet and I can't remember what it was like. But there is none left, so it must have been okay.
Shoppy section.
Thank you very much for your purchases over the Christmas period. I hope that you like them and I hope that those that bought them for presents appreciate them too. I very much appreciate your support. I'm thinking I'm going to have to buy a new microphone because the connection in this one is playing up. So I'm going to have to make more stuff for you to buy it so then I can then buy a new microphone. But I've only got one thing in the shop, I think, just now. I think it's a McGregor tartan bag. So I will be restocking that in the upcoming weeks. And if you have any tartan bag that you quite like and I can help you with, then let me know. So if you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast but get stuff back as well, then do go visit www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. And also I'll just mention it that somebody offered me a donation for the podcast and I was a bit taken aback. I was absolutely delighted. And we just did this through PayPal, so if you felt that you wanted to do that, there is an option for that too. And if you let me know, then I can just give you my PayPal address, and then that would be very pleasant. And it all gets put back towards the hosting fees, and also so that I can buy stuff so I can talk to you, because I don't like just to go out and expect other businesses to give me their stuff all the time. I like to try and support the designers and the wool industry if I can, but I can't always afford to do as much as other podcasters do, so that's where your help does come in, and also it keeps me having stuff to talk about to tell you, so you win too. I ever don't have to do it, so that's just an aside.
Blah 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 section.
Wow, thank you for listening. I hope I don't sound too tired. I'm starting to feel a bit tired now. But this episode is being overdue. And I did record it on Friday night. And the Bairns had a little friend round after school and they played hide and seek. And it was lovely. They had lovely kiddies' laughter in the background. But they also had thumpy thumpy noises. Like and going through the hall, and then screaming laughter. And then I told them to stop with the screaming laughter, which felt like a bad mummy. And I tried to edit it out, and all I heard was thumpy, thumpy, screamy, screamy. And I just, nah. So today, all we've had is Buchel sniffing, and he doesn't snore like Quattro used to do, but he's there. And I even stopped the washing machine. Sorry, I'm splaffing. I hope you have health, because it all starts with health. And over and above that, I hope you have equality, love, peace, and togetherness. So my email is kittenscraftcollective@gmail.com. On my Ravelry, on Etsy, thank you, Buchel. Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook is kittenscraft. I've been quite quiet on the Facebook page. And actually Twitter this weekend with the inauguration going on. I didn't want to get too political and it made me angry, so I came off. And I realised how much I actually was on Twitter, because now I keep thinking, oh, I'll just check Twitter. Oh no, I'm not on Twitter this weekend. So just weaning myself off that a little bit. I have a Flickr account and it's LouiseG2010, and you can get the podcast on Podbean site, which is www.kittenscraftcollective.podbean.com. Also, I will direct you to my husband if you are into triathlons in any way, shape or form. Richard's going to do an Ironman triathlon this year, and he's actually recorded his own podcast, and it's called Non-Vanilla Tri. You can get that through www.nonvanillatri.podbean.com. We couldn't find it on iTunes, even though it's uploaded to iTunes. When you first start a podcast, it can sometimes take a while. The intro and the outro are from the Free Music Archive, and it's called Entertainment for the Brain Dead by a Friend. Not that I think any of you are brain dead, dear. I just like the birdie and the tuneful music. So thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back in. You can have your shoes back now, Louise. Keep on crafting.